Good morning, everybody. When you're sitting down there, you don't know who's behind you. Look at these lovely people. So, have you all had a lovely Christmas? Good. We had a lovely Christmas too. It's all about family, isn't it? And friends and food and gifts. But I hope in the middle of that, you all found time to have some peace. We did, didn't we? It's always hectic at our daughter's house. She's rather loud. Unlike myself, I'm very quiet, as you all know. But it's very loud there. So having those moments of peace in all what's going on is just so good. And it's lovely to be here this morning, this peaceful place, and worship the Lord. Now, I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to tell you all a parable. Now, Jesus used parables. I'm sure some of you are aware of that. When you went to school and things, you were told parables. And I wonder why Jesus used parables. And his disciples actually said, why do you talk like this to us? Why do you speak in parables? And Jesus gave them this answer. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. This is the disciples. So some people, not to them. And whoever has more, who's been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. Doesn't it all sound very complicated? But the gist of that is Jesus is revealing the truth to people who will really, really listen. He's concealing the truth from those people who say, I don't want to know. So you either listen and hear, or you don't, and you really don't hear. And there's a prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah wrote his book many, many years before Jesus ever walked this earth. But he knew all about Jesus then, and he was going to reveal what Jesus was going to do. He revealed that Jesus would be speaking in these parables. So what do parables do? They convey truth by using some really ordinary things. Ordinary objects Jesus used, things that people would know about, to tell a story. And these stories left a lasting impact on their hearers. And this is why some of you remember those stories from years ago you learnt at school. So this morning, I'm going to tell you my parable. And you might have to listen very carefully to understand the meaning of it. You may have to have eyes that see and ears that hear what Jesus is going to teach us all, including myself this morning, about him through my parable. And it's called The Parable of the Christmas Presents. Now, it's a tradition in our family to have all the presents under the tree, like in the picture, I hope. They're all there, beautiful. It's very difficult when you can't see them yourself here. So they're all there under the tree, lots of them. There were lots this year. And then what happens is, one of our family gets up and sorts all the presents. So Jack gets a pile of presents. I get a pile, hopefully. Everybody else gets their pile. And then we take it in turns to take a present. And we all ooh and ah and thank you and kiss each other, saying thank you very much for these wonderful presents you've given us. And of course, I had my pile there. And being the inner child that I am, I decided I'd pick the biggest present first. So I'm so excited about this present, and here it is. It's a skateboard. Now, what am I going to do with a skateboard? And Jack would probably trip over it, so we'll move it out of the way. But what would I do with a skateboard? I mean, it's a lovely present. I've got two legs to get around on. Maybe a Zimmer frame would have been more appropriate, but nobody was so unkind as to give me that. But I thought, oh dear, why have they given me that? Anyway, charity shop next week. Actually, it's going back to Nathan, who I've got to thank for the loan of it. But it's going back next week. So I thought, on to the next one, because that really wasn't for me, that present. On to the next one. Now, this one looks more promising. Wow, here we go. So, this looks wonderful. Does anybody want one? Empty. Sorry. Absolutely empty. They were so good, I just could not resist eating them. Made myself feel quite queasy. So I put them back, put them by the fire. What happened? Melted. So that present was absolutely useless to me. It was wonderful for a while, but then it was useless. Empty tin, no use. Anyway, the third present, somewhere in here, my third present, it is in here, my new phone. Now, that was a lovely present to receive. I transferred everything off my own phone onto this one, spoke to the family in Spain on WhatsApp, absolutely loved it. What a thoughtful gift, so useful. Until last night, put the TV on, there was an advert for a super duper phone, one of these foldy things, you know. And I looked at that and I thought, not so sure anymore. That other one looks super cool. I don't think I'm ungrateful. I enjoyed this one, but I thought there's something better. So tomorrow, trading this one in, it's going back, and I'm going to get the super, super cool to match myself. Super cool. And one gift remains in my bag. Actually, it couldn't fit in my bag. But this gift I am going to keep. It's a real keeper. And here it is. That's my keeper. There he is. Now, Jack represents, obviously, himself, but he also represents our family, church family, all of you, who I want to keep. You know, you are what I want to keep. That's the present. Because the secret of this present is relationship. It's about loving. It's about caring for each other. So it's a present worth giving as well as receiving. Kate Winslet spoke at the Princess of Wales Carol service last week. I don't know if any of you saw it. And she said, Christmas is about giving. But maybe we can think about being present as our Christmas present to those we love, and to those who need to be comforted and heard. I thought, well, lovely words. Be present, not just a present. So I'm keeping that present, all of you. Does my parable remind you of another parable in the Bible? Maybe not. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Matthew 13 says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So what are the elements of that parable and my parable? Well, there are three things. The sower, who is the present giver. The seed, which is the presence. And the soil, the receiver of the presence. The seed is the good news about Jesus, what we call the gospel, the good news. So I say gospel, I mean good news. The presents indicate the free gift of this gospel. And the sower represents the person who tells about the gospel, the person who spreads the presents, who gives the good news. And the soil represents the hearts of those who are receiving the gifts. I'll refer to those as we go along. And it's evident there are four categories of recipient. But notice, the sower is willing to give it to everybody. The seed can go to everybody. If I'd had some chocolates, I would have shared them all with you. Because the gift can be for everybody. So let's have a look at those categories. The first one, the seed which fell on stony ground and was trodden down, eaten by the birds. They're the folks who listen to people speaking about Jesus but don't want to know. Like the skateboard for me. It's a great gift, but not for me. And that's sometimes how people think about the good news of Jesus. It's a great message. Jesus was a good guy, good bloke that, but not for me. Or people will say, well, it's all right, you know, I'm very young. I can do that later in my life. I can think about Jesus, but I'm too busy now getting on with life, so I won't bother with that. Or others will say, well, it's okay for you. If you need a religious crutch, that's fine for you. So they don't want to know. There's so many excuses why people say, I don't want to know Jesus. They say he's not appropriate, like the skateboard wasn't for me. In 1956, I went to Main Road. Main Road, Manchester City's old ground. I used to go a lot, but I went to hear Billy Graham speaking there in 1956. And isn't it interesting? Thousands of people there. And the responses were very different. Some people, when he said, and they sang Just As I Am, people came forward to say, yes, I want to know Jesus more. Other people were angry, saying, I don't want to know about this. And others just went a bit bewildered. The responses were just amazingly different. And it really depended on people's hearts, what their heart response was. And so they refused the gift, and it was snatched away. The great preacher Spurgeon made a more worrying comment. He said, here's the slide, many of you do not go to the place of worship desiring a blessing. You do not intend to worship God or to be affected by anything you hear. Now, I hope that's not true of us here in this church. It's a general statement. People go to church perhaps for the wrong reasons. Some go to be seen at church, to put the big hat on. In Jamaica, when we went to Jamaican church, they all had big hats on, but they were there to worship and just enjoy the big hats as well. Other people just pay lip service. It's the thing to do on Sunday morning. We went to a church in Spain. We knew a church in Spain where people went every Sunday morning. When they came out, they'd say, thank you, Padre, lovely service. Go straight across the road to the bar and say how awful this man was and try to get him sacked. You know, now where's the heart? They're in church, wrong hearts. And the man did get sacked. They actually ousted the vicar. And after he'd got the sack, they went and drank champagne in the local bar. That's the sort of thing Spurgeon's talking about. How do we come to church? Do we come to worship God? Or do we come because we want to be seen there and are still troublemakers? It's a real warning not to let God's word get snatched away from us or trodden down, like in the story. The second group shows the seeds on the rocky ground. There was a little bit of soil, but enough for the things to start to grow. Some people hear the good news of Jesus, the gospel, and they go all out for it, like those little seeds, like me with the chocolates, all out, stuffing my face with all the chocolates, and then, oh, no. And some people do that. They're all out for the gospel. They receive it. There was a guy who came to a church in Milton Keynes, and he came 1 week, enjoyed it. So he came back. Third week, he brought his family. They all seemed to enjoy it, and they kept coming. They joined a small group, midweek group. They wanted to be really involved. Then suddenly, you looked around, and they weren't there anymore. What's happened to them? They just finally came and they left. Why is that? They taste the chocolates, get bored with them, and move on to something else. Because their faith is in that shallow soil. It never really took root, which is what we aim to do, get our roots go down and really get to know Jesus. So their faith was like that soil. It was very shallow. And how do we nurture people in that position? What do we do to help them? I think not. One of the things is not to rush people, not to say, now you're here, to grab hold of them and keep them, you know, not let them wander off. We have to be very careful to look after people, slowly encouraging people. But some people in that shallow soil group also take offence. How easy it is to take offence and disappear. You know, you're looking at me and say, some of you might not like my shoes or my jumper, and you might say, I'm not going there anymore, I didn't like that woman standing up there in that jumper. And it's as simple as that. It can be something very simple. You might be offended by me having a skateboard here in church. People take offence, and it's something we have to really guard against. Don't let offence creep in. If there's somebody offends you, if my jumper does offend you, please tell me afterwards and we'll sort it out. Don't go away offended, because that's what happens with people in the shallow soil. They get offended and they go. The third group, the seed that fell among the thorns. The soil was good. Even the thorns could grow in there, so it was good soil. Like my phone, it was a good phone. The group received the good news, accept it, but not quite. Like my phone, I was pleased with it, but not quite. There's a little edge, it's missing. It's not as cool as the other one. So people in this particular group come to church, come to small groups, do everything that we want people to do, but they don't grow. They're still on that level of not growing. In the gut, in and out, in and out. They're living amongst the thorns of the world, and that's so easy to do, because the wheat grows alongside the thorns. The Bible tells us that. My phone was good until my own thoughts got in there and told me a different story about that phone. I wanted what the world thought was better. The television advert said, this is a better one. And the world tells us that. These are better things. And I wanted those things when I looked at the phone. So what thorns, what weeds strangle our faith, strangle my faith? Things like materialism, like the phone, wanting the better one. Busy work schedules. Haven't got time for Jesus at the moment. I'll go to church. Can't make Wednesday. Can't do that, because the world of work is keeping me back. Now, I understand people have to go to work. I don't, fortunately. A nice position I'm in. But those who have to work, I know it's difficult. You have to juggle between the two. And people are studying. They have work to study, things to do, dissertations to complete or whatever, homework to finish. And it's hard to juggle both things, but we have to keep our minds focused. Then what about hobbies? If you've got a hobby, does that take you away from Jesus? It's so easy to say, well, my football group's now meeting on Sundays, so I'll go on Sunday mornings. I'll play football, or I'll go and do this. So I don't go to church. Midweek, yeah, I play badminton Tuesday night. Can't make it this week. Interesting, friends too can tear us away. Friends can say, the only day I've got free is Sunday morning. Let's go for coffee. So we go for coffee, and then they say, should we do it again next Sunday? And we're so easily drawn in and drawn away, because the soil is there, but we're not fully immersed. And we need to ask God to help us to juggle the things of life and the things of church life. And if we see somebody struggling who's in this category of really wanting to be immersed in Christian things, we have to help them, encourage them if we see someone struggling. And this hardship fund that Ian mentioned is a brilliant way of helping people who are struggling, because if the worries of the world are choking us and people are concerned about financial issues, family, we all have issues in our lives. You know, because we're Christians, we're not immune from problems, and things, the weeds do get in to try and choke us. So we have to help each other, and the hardship fund is a great example of helping a practical need. But what if people have got other needs, emotional needs, relationship needs? Are we there as brothers and sisters in Christ to help them? We need to do that. So the fourth group, at last the good news. The fourth group accept Jesus and are fully going along with him. Their hearts are fully open and prepared by God. They receive the word gladly. They receive it and live it out. At work, with their friends, with school, wherever they are, they've got Jesus still in mind. We see changed lives. If somebody's fully, fully in with the Lord, we see a life that's changed. And other people spot that too. They see something in you, in me, if we are really following Jesus' teaching. We have what's called the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? Joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I'm not saying I've got all of those things, incidentally. Patience I need a lot more of. Self-control. I could go through, couldn't I? I'm lacking in a lot of those areas, but I'm doing my best. And with your help, I can do even better. So we have to keep on being the people we're meant to be as followers of Jesus. And in the parable, what the fruit they had is multiplied. Because it says our lives in Jesus give us abundance. You know, I can testify to that. I'm not rich, but I've had an abundant life. When Jack and I worked in Spain, we weren't paid. For 20 years, we weren't paid. But God provided for us, and we had an abundant life. We went to Jamaica. I taught in a church there. We went all over the place because God somehow, I don't know how looking back, but God provided for us all that time, and we had abundance. And we still have an abundant life. We're not rich, as I said, but we have abundance. We have health. We have friends. We have family. We have the Lord blessing us. So what could be better? What could be better? So as we move into the new year, it's a good time to take stock of the position that we're in terms of our faith. So which group are you in today? Are you somebody who is rejecting Jesus and saying, not for me, skateboard, you can keep it. Gospel, you can keep it. For various reasons. Or you might be just considering. If you're rejecting Jesus today, I would really say, please don't. You'll have a better life and you've got a promise of eternity. So if you don't know Jesus today, speak to me or somebody here and they'll tell you what a wonderful life we're having. If you're in the second group, if your faith is shallow and you feel falling away, you may be in that category. I would urge you to, again, speak to somebody, to be encouraged, to know how to move forward. If you're in the category of letting the weeds of the world choke your faith, then again, consider your life. Have a look at what your life's full of and say, what can I change so that I've got more time for the things of Jesus alongside all the things I have to do. I appreciate we all have to do some things, but how can we help each other to grow and to continue to grow as we follow Jesus? Because you know, God has some wonderful gifts for us. I mean, I had some wonderful gifts. Those weren't representative of the gifts I got for Christmas, but I had some wonderful gifts. But every day, I have wonderful gifts from Jesus. Every day. I have his love every day. And that's a great thing to have in my life. So remember also, it's a final word. Remember, who sows the seeds of the gospel? Who tells other people the good news of Jesus? Do we wrap up our faith in beautiful wrapping? I hope there's a picture on there of some beautiful gifts. Because we are the ones who are supposed to give out the gifts. We're the ones who tell the good news. How do we do it? Do we do it so that it's presented beautifully like this? Or are we off-putting? There used to be a wonderful video of how not to tell people about Jesus. And there's a guy in the loft mending something. And there's a big beam here. And the guy's sort of bending down, trying to mend. And this very helpful Christian pops his head up and says, have you been washed in the blood? This poor guy bangs his head on the beam and doesn't go back to the house, let alone wanting to know more about Jesus. It's not the way to tell people about Jesus. What does it mean to people? Have you been washed in the blood? We have to just be ourselves and hope that we are presenting Jesus through who we are. Do people look at me and my lifestyle and say, she means it? Or they look at me and say, I'm being false? Do people look at me and say, it's all hypocrisy? And that's our responsibility as givers of the good news, of sowers of the seeds. Does it look like it's worth having my faith? Because that's my aim. My aim is to let people see that it's worth having. A friend of ours in Scotland said, put some on Facebook, and with her permission, I'm reading it to you now. And she said, "We cannot force someone to hear a message they are not ready to receive, but we must never underestimate the power of planting a seed." We must never underestimate the power of planting a seed. So what seeds are we planting? Are we planting good seeds? Are we giving the good gifts? Or are we giving people skateboards they don't need? Are we giving the right messages? I'm going to leave you to ponder on those two questions. How do we present the gospel? Does it look like it's worth having? I'm going to leave that with you. As we move into 2026, what fruit of our labours will we see next year? How will my faith move on next year? But I want to just encourage us to spur each other on. We need each other. We need each other's help. So I just pray that you'll be blessed in 2026. Thank you.